This is CBS Eye in the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues, Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal of the Colombia Legislature. She is in Bogota. And Joseph Umar, Executive Director of Secure Free Society. He is in North America in the Washington area. Haiti. Haiti, much in the news these last years since the devastating earthquake, more than a decade. However, at the same time, Haiti is a Caribbean challenge for the United States, has been for centuries, certainly has been in the 20th century. I am not looking to solve Haiti's governance or Haiti's prosperity. I wish it well, but right now we're dealing with the collateral damage that allowing Haiti or permitting Haiti or ignoring Haiti, permitting Haiti to spin into despair or ignoring Haiti's despair, the collateral damage, and it's migration, migrants. I have learned over many weeks of reporting from Panama that the largest number of migrants coming through the Darien Gap, which is the jungle, the triple canopy jungle between Colombia's northern border and Panama's border, the largest number are either Cubans or Haitians. I can't do a head count here. They're coming via the Caribbean, and they're moving north, always north, toward the Mexican border into the United States, especially now. Why that matters is that it's an unseen part of the migration. And those Haitians, those Cubans come through Colombia, some instances, bypass Colombia and go right to Panama. So I asked my colleagues, what is to be done? This migration is endless. The news here in America is that the migrants are all from the narco-terrorism and climate change of the Northern Triangle. That is inaccurate. That is not the large number. They come from Senegal, they come from Congo, they come from Nepal, but they especially come from Haiti and Cuba. And they're worthy young people in many instances, children, people under 18 in many instances with dreams. And they're welcome here. But the problem is that Haiti has no clear future unless and until. Joseph, I begin with you because Haiti, while it is part of the New World, is a French-speaking country. I learned that many Haitians have already moved over to Dominican Republic to survive because Haiti's conditions are so turbulent. What is your understanding of Haiti? Is it a centerpiece of the OAS? Is it a part of the conversation at the National Security Council? Is anything in Washington addressing the Haitian despair?
So, John, I think one of the things that has gotten overlooked with Haiti, it's the third largest mass migration crisis in Latin America. And we're talking about really big mass migration that we have in other places like Venezuela being the largest with 5.5 million migrants since 2014. Obviously, the Central Americans are coming to the U.S. border. That's a huge mass migration. But Haiti's number third. And they've had more than 500,000 migrants that have left the country since 2018. And that's a large number considering the population of Haiti is not that big. It's gotten so problematic for the Dominican Republic, which is a neighbor to Haiti in the Caribbean, that they're actually building a wall, literally building a wall between on the border of the two countries. Haiti's always been one of, if not the poorest country in Latin America, where about 60% of the country lives under the poverty line, making less than $2 a day. About a quarter of the country lives in extreme poverty. So Haitian migration is not a new thing. It's been going on for a long time. But the numbers are getting a lot bigger in a short amount of time. John, you mentioned Panama. In Panama, the Haitians are one of the top migrants that come to the country and have essentially created a route that goes from the Caribbean to Panama and marches all the way up to the U.S. border. In some cases, stays in Mexico or in Central America along the way. So this has created a lot of problems. And I think that what we're seeing now is that these problems are starting to spill over into the political arena where there's an election coming up this year. It's a parliamentary election. It's actually an election that was postponed from 2019. Or 2020, and then now it's going to happen this year. And I think a lot of pressure is being put for that these elections to take place to look for some political solutions to what's happening in the country. The problem is that, you know, like we've seen in other countries, one of the solutions that's being proposed is a change to the Constitution. And we've mentioned before how dangerous that could be because when you change the Constitution in a sloppy manner, you run the risk of implementing worse policies than the problem you have at hand.
Senator, migration, the story is worldwide. I understand that. And Colombia is under direct threat, not from migration, but from bad actors, and particularly in Caracas. However, I mentioned this route that I was told young Haitians take from Haiti to the Dominican Republic to live with their parents or migrant workers, to Suriname, which allows people to enter without a visa, from Suriname through Brazil on to Chile, from Chile north to via Colombia into Panama, and from Panama north. Is this a story that's talked about in Latin America, these migrants, the Caribbean migrants moving through Latin America, working when they can, because they don't all do this in weeks. They can take years, 3-4 years, in order to save money, in order to have way stations on the way to America. Do you talk about this in Bogota?
No, nobody knows about that, and I'm very impressed to try to imagine all that long path. Just coming, you know, from Haiti, which is in the Caribbean. Remember that Haiti and Dominican Republic share the same island. They are divided. Then taking into Suriname, getting down to Brazil, that I could say it is a jungle. And then trying to cross it all the way to reach the Pacific to Chile and then go back up. So you have to cross different countries, Peru, then Ecuador, then Colombia, then you have to cross Central America to reach the U.S. No, I have never heard about that, and it will be good to be documented about it. But what is really a shame and disgusting in the way of seeing how could we in the 21st century as Latin American and the Caribbean, could have not understand how to make money in free economy. How come are we repeating the same bad recipes of socialism or communism or a dictatorship that takes everything for single families? So if you go to Dominican Republic, yes, you see very rich people, you see very rich foreign people, but you see a stability and you see an income that help people for a well living despite not being a rich or a developed country. But if you just cross the border with Haiti, you see a destroyed country, but a destroyed country since decades. Remember that Haiti was one, if I'm not wrong, I think it was the first freedom country against the colonization. They were French colony. It was violent. They killed almost all the French owners and people, and the slaves turned into a riot, and they scream about freedom, and they got it. But afterwards, after the French were kicked out, then their own black people turned to be dictators. Until, you know, they get into the Papa Doc and then Edop and the worst police in these countries of Latin America and the Caribbean, which were called the Tonton Macut, which were like killers, trained army, legalized killers. They obeyed many migrants to flew to the U.S., even asking for asylum. It was about 25 years ago. You could remember that. But it is still being a country that they think that voting will have a better way of living. And in fact, is there is no way the structure helps people to overcome poverty. So these illegal groups, what we see is that where the institutions are strong, like in the U.S. or Europe, you could contain this kind of disastrous politician. If it is not, you will keep all the time and generations seeing all these people migrating for a better living.
Joseph, you are traveling. You are in Panama City. Panama is the crossroads going north to to Mexico. You must pass through the Darien Gap unless you have the resources to fly onto Cancun and make your way to Mexico accordingly. What do you see in Panama City now? What do you hear about the concerns of the Panama government about this flow of Haitians and Cubans and others going north to Mexico? Is it a challenge? Is it a threat? Is it a peril for Panama?
John, here in Panama, they're particularly concerned. They've always been concerned about the migration from Haiti, but they're particularly concerned because of COVID, with all the different strains that are spreading now. There's obviously the P1 strain in Panama. I'm sorry, from Brazil, the India Delta variant that's, I think, hit some countries in South America and in Central America and the Caribbean. And so they're starting to see another uptick, although it's not that severe yet, but a small uptick in the infection rates here in Panama. And so they're being very careful. Here in Panama so far, things are pretty locked down. It's relatively open during the day, but pretty much there's a countrywide curfew at 10 p.m. And then masks are still mandated pretty much in all the public spaces. So Panama still hasn't completely opened up, which is a shame because it's a great country for tourism, a great country for other things. But because of migration, because of the pandemic, because of the economic effects, it's getting hit pretty hard.
And Joseph, the Panamanian government, it can't seal the borders. It's impossible, the Darien Gap. So do they have a remedy? I know that they've been busing the migrants through Panama to Costa Rica to hand them over. But as the variants spread, that is not going to be an attractive remedy because you still have exposure to migrants who are coming. They're desperate people and they're ill.
Yeah, there is. I think one of the angles that they're looking at here in Panama and other places, I'll know more after I'm done with this trip, but is the financial aspect. Because as you mentioned before, John, and as the Senator Cabal highlighted, this unusual and very long trek to go from the Caribbean all the way down to South America, just to go all the way up to back to North America, beyond the unusual and long route that is, there's a lot of money behind that. There's a lot of human smugglers that are involved in making a lot of money around that. And some people have equated it to kind of a modern day slavery of using human trafficking as a way to make money for these big human smuggling facilitators. So one of the things that they've done here in Panama is to start to try to attack that, the financial, and going after these human smugglers and seeing if they could hit them in their pocketbook. But I'll learn more about that as I'm here in the country talking to folks in the Panamanian government.
Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, now properly located in Panama City. Secure Free Society is in the Washington area. Joseph on the road. Senator Maria Fernanda Cabal, she's in Bogota, a member of the Colombia legislature. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.